welcome to Christ Community Church. We're a different kind of church. Y'all, we believe in the same God, though. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his sacrificial death on the cross, his justifying resurrection from the grave, his glorious ascension into heaven, and one day, with the clouds, he's going to be coming back. And you know what? I look forward to seeing my Lord Jesus Christ. We believe the Bible is an inerrant word of God, and that's what we preach and teach. So here at Christ Community Church, we just say, welcome. Welcome. If you're looking for a church home, pray and ask where God would lead you, because we believe God wants every believer to be in a church home. So you pray and ask God to put you where he wants you. And if it's here, praise God, we'd love to have you, okay? We're going to be in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 12. And we're going to go through, we're really going to look at one verse. I'm going to read a paragraph, and we'll refer back into that paragraph a little bit. But I want us to hear one verse. God has put this verse on my mind and my heart for a lot of years. It's one of my favorite. It's Jesus talking to the apostles in a sweet moment. You know, we know Jesus to be loving. We know him to be kind, full of grace. But there was times when he had to talk to his disciples, and it didn't come out. It was still kind and loving, but it wasn't sweet. It had a little sting to it. You know, oh, you have little faith. Why are you afraid of these things? And he would kind of chastise them. There's a scripture here where he's dealing with the things of life. And it just comes out so sweet. I'm going to read the paragraph, but we're going to focus on verse 32. And so Luke chapter 12. I'm going to start reading in verse 22. And this is what the Word of God says. Then he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you eat, nor about the body, what you put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. And of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? And if you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. And do not seek what you should eat, or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you." Here's our focus verse. "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good will to give you the kingdom." Let me go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. Thank you for allowing me to preach on a favorite verse, a verse that just strikes at my heart about how you love your people, about how you have a plan not to destroy us, but to bring us into a kingdom, not to leave us, but to fit us, to educate, teach, and equip us for your kingdom that you are giving by your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. As we've gathered here today, I hope you'll allow us and I hope you'll be blessed as we celebrate through your word the grace offered to us through the Lord Jesus Christ and the good pleasure of you, our Father. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're just going to dive right in. I just break this verse into three parts. You have an outline in your bulletin that looks like this if you want to follow along with where I'm preaching. It just kind of keeps us on track together. That's in your handout that you received when you came in. The title, I've just titled this, Trusting Our Father and living fearlessly. Trusting our Father and living fearlessly. Doesn't that sound good? I don't know about y'all, but I want to be a bold, courageous witness for Jesus Christ. In my personal life, I want to be a bold, courageous daddy to Joshua, Levi, Allison, and Annabeth. I want to be a bold and courageous husband to my wife, Sarah. I want to be a bold and courageous pastor at Christ Community Church. I want to be a bold and courageous man who lives on Longview Drive over in Sunnycrest Subdivision and says, hey, I trust God in my neighborhood and in the city that I live in of Grenada. I want to have that kind of life, not encumbered and tied with fear, but one that's free and says, praise God. Well, how does that kind of freedom come? How does that kind of liberty, where does that happen? How does that come about? Is it even possible? What do y'all think? Is it even possible? I mean, in the real world, so often in church we get accused of not speaking of the real world. And maybe there's times that's true. We speak of a kind of a lofty, high in the sky, detached from reality because we're in our, I'd say our stained glass windows, but our sackcloth windows. Our safe seat, you know, with our sound, you know, all this stuff. And we just talk about these things and we detach from reality. Y'all listen. In that paragraph I read, he said, don't be afraid, don't fear. But did you hear the context about your life, your food, your clothes, your value to God? Don't have an anxious and worried mind. Don't do those things. That's real life stuff. If you take the Word of God as the Word of God, He's speaking of real life things, things that you face right when you wake up. If you're glad you woke up today, say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Did you wake up because you worried about it so much last night? Ooh, I hope I wake up tomorrow. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to plan on it. I'm going to plan on waking up. Well, maybe you did. You set an alarm. You want to wake up at a certain time. And you know what? I'm going to try real hard. And I know some of us have to work harder at waking up than others.
Amen.
But actually, we try to fight to stay asleep because we feel that life in us. And we go, oh, no, it's too early. Not yet. We hug our pillow. We slap the snooze alarm. And we're kind of trying to enjoy life right then, you know. But none of y'all tried real hard to be alive this morning. You woke up and found out you were. Okay, well, if you didn't wake yourself up, you didn't bring life into your body this morning, somebody else must have been at work while you slept soundly, while your mind processed all that was going on through the day. Let me tell you, whether believer or non-believer, someone who loves God or someone who hates God, all of us, every single person in this world, when they lay down and they lose conscious contact with this world because they slip into that sleep realm, they could be thankful that God designed us to sustain life. There's a sustainer at work for all of us. And that's the idea of that, the hand, being in the hands of God, being in the everlasting arms of God. This is why it's so crucial for us to come to understand that God wants a relationship with us. Because the reality is, He gives life and breath and being to everyone. So these are, if you can think of a practical, more practical issue than just life, breathing, you tell me about it, because I just can't figure it out. Because if that one's not met, you know, all the other ones are kind of off base. But let's look at this. Jesus in verse 32 says, in a command. Do y'all hear the command? Do not fear. That's just straightforward. That's just exactly what he says. Do not fear. Don't be afraid. Don't let fear rule your life, is what he's saying. Let me tell you, you know, we can all make an argument. There's a rational fear. I don't like bugs, especially flying bugs. The other bugs really don't bother me. It doesn't bother me if I see a bug. If there's something flying over here, I'm okay. But you let something kind of buzz by my ear, like an airplane making a flyby on the tower, you know, I mean, I kind of go into, you wouldn't think a big man like me can move like that. But I promise I can. There's some fears that we have. Some people are afraid of snakes, rightly so. If I said, matter of fact, aren't you glad that we don't handle snakes anyways? and say, hey, here's a rattlesnake. Let's see if you're faithful. We don't do that, okay? Just want that to be clear. We don't do that. Aren't you glad? Because there's a natural fear that's healthy for us that says, when I hear, I should back away. The Lord's not talking about that kind of fear. He's not talking about a fear of heights. I sure got one of those too. And people say you shouldn't be afraid of heights. It's the fall at the end that should really scare you. I'm like, well, that's cool. Doesn't help me any because when I get up tall, I freak out a little bit, you know, and I get the anxiety in my stomach. But he's not talking about that kind of fear. He's talking about the kind of fear that comes when you're trying to control your life. He's talking about the kind of fear that enters our world when you play God and you don't rest in the one who really is God. Do not fear. And he gives some reasons in this paragraph. Do not fear because your life, it's already not in your hands. It's not yours to control. If it's yours to control, tell me what day you're going to die, please. I want to know when you scheduled that event. Because we know, and there's people in this church family even right now whose hearts are broken because that comes on a day we don't expect. For so many, it comes in an untimely fashion. And it ought to demonstrate to us that we don't have control. And we ought not be anxious and worried and fearful because things seem out of control. Let that illusion of control go. If you fear, the first thing I think we see and we find out is it gives us tunnel vision. It gives us tunnel vision. Up in verses 22 and 23, Jesus says, don't worry about your life, what you should eat in your body as far as what you should wear. Isn't life more than this, he says? Isn't your body more than clothing? What happened? They had fear and it connected them. It put their vision in a small, tiny tunnel. And they said, I've got to control. This is the realm of my control. I've got to control it. I've got to have it. And he says, you're missing the whole point of life. How many people get so tied up and bound with fear of things they're trying to control that they miss the point of life? Do you see people who are just flat missing it because they've become so myopic? I learned that word just the other day. It means single vision. They've become so small visioned. They become so tunnel visioned. Yeah, they have this singular focus, and they can't see anything outside of that, and the worry is killing them. And they're missing the point of life. Don't miss the point of life. Don't suffer from fear-induced tunnel vision. It shuts our creativity down. It shuts our willingness to follow down. Faith does not compete. I know faith is strong, but y'all listen, faith gets blocked out when we're in that tunnel vision mode. Life is more than that. Your body's more than clothing. I love that, you know, because I found this principle to be true. You just tell me if it works out for you. Wherever my body is, that's where I am too. Just works that way. You know, wherever I go, there I am. You know, it's just that one of those kind of things. And you know what? I can get to experience the joy of God and the service of God right here in my body, in my flesh, in this thing that carries me around from place to place, and these eyes that he's given me. My life's a whole lot more than clothing. I had a clothing issue today. I came from a camp, and all I had was shorts. And so a lot of y'all saw me walking around in shorts, and I said, I don't know if I can preach in shorts. And they said, you can preach in shorts. I said, I can, but I don't know if I should. And there's a little dilemma. And so my lovely wife brought me some long pants, so that I could preach to you all in long pants. But you know what? My message, even if I was in shorts, would have worked, wouldn't it? Yeah. I'm still probably going to wear pants when I preach, just telling you that. But my point is, it's a whole lot more than just clothing. It's a lot more than clothing. That's why part of the reason Christ Community Church is the way it is, because we said clothing ought not stop people coming to hear the gospel message of Jesus Christ in the church. And we said, come on, like you are. Don't say you can't dress for church. Don't get that tunnel vision, because your body's a lot more than what you put on it. Your life is a lot more than what you put in it. Not only does fear give us that tunnel vision, but Jesus reveals something about the limits of fear and worry and anxiety. You ready? It does nothing. It can do nothing good. Jesus said, who of you by worrying can add one cubit, one little bit of height to your 1 centimeter? Can you grow yourself a centimeter because you're afraid you're too short? No, you cannot. Well, don't worry. Turn yourself over to God. He'll stretch you at night. You can't change things because you worry about them. I know people who say, well, they get all tore up about what somebody else is going to do. I don't know what they're going to do, and they're going to do this, and I want them to do this, and they get tore up thinking about what someone else is going to do, and I'm like, how much worry do you think is going to change what they're going to do? You can't change that. We get worried because we make mistakes, and it goes out there, and we wonder what all the repercussions and the conditions of that mistake were. You can't control that. You can't unring a bell when it's rung. It's just going to go out there. Worrying ain't going to change it. Worrying doesn't make you holy. I've met people who feel like they are sinning if they're not worried sick about someone or something. And I think to myself, have you read this part where it says don't worry? You may be sinning because you're worrying sick about something and somebody else, because he says don't fear. Doesn't mean don't love. Don't fear doesn't mean don't love. Don't fear doesn't mean don't care for. Don't fear doesn't mean don't invest in their life. Or don't make yourself vulnerable to where you get hurt. Don't fear, because it don't work. And Jesus reveals that secret. No matter how much you worry, if you piled it all your worry up into one bushel basket and went to pay for or something, it wouldn't buy you nothing. It brings stress into your life. It gives a foothold to the devil in your life. I don't have a lot of time to talk about that, but fear is a great doorway for the evil one to come into. Don't fear. Don't worry. Because he knows you're tied up with wanting to control and your faith is not at work. We got a lot of movement today, but I know you're going to do something good. We're sending missionaries out left and right. Probably to the restroom. Tell them about the Lord in the restroom, my man. Don't fear. Last reason, fear blinds us from God's love for us. Fear just blinds us from God's love for us. Part of the tunnel vision that fear comes into, it only allows me to see my resources, my strength. Jesus said this twice. He said about our value to God. Now, a lot of times we would say, what is our value to God? Let me tell you where your value to God is found. It's found in what God would be willing to pay for you. You know how you value a house? What is someone willing to pay for it? A car? What is someone willing to pay for it? What was God willing to pay for you with? What investment did he make in you? What kind of love does he put on you? As soon as you're thinking that you're lowly in the bottom of the barrel, sure, we're sinners, we're all that. But you know what? Do you know what kind of value God has put on you, sinner, and me, sinner? He put the Son of God's life on that. He valued us that much. And he tells them here, Jesus is telling them here, God feeds the birds, man, not because they work for it. He feeds them. They don't got barns and storehouses. And he says this, and of how much more value are you than the birds? And he says, look at the grass. He makes flowers grow up in the grass. And Solomon, with all his glorious garments, weren't anything dressed like the grass was. But the grass is here today and mowed tomorrow. How much more value are you than the grass? And when we're worried and we're scared, we forget that the cross estimates our value to God. And he doesn't look lightly on that. He paid a tremendous price for you and for me. Because he loves us, he set that value. So don't fear, because it gets you blinded to God's love. It makes you blind to what life is really about. And it's useless. And I didn't put this on here, but I started with it. It's a sign that you're trying to play God. And that's never going to work out right. Because you're not God. That's a good thing to say in church. Hey, did y'all know? You woke up today, you weren't God. And tomorrow when you wake up, you won't be God then either. So you need to end up knowing the God who really is God. I think we need to start there. That's pretty basic. Well, let's look at the next thing Jesus said. This is what really, I just love it. And I can't spend all my time here either, but I just love it. He calls them little flock. He calls them little flock. Earlier in the paragraph, he calls them, you of little faith. There's a rebuke there. You of little faith. But here he says, do not fear, little flock. What you hear in that is the heart of a shepherd that looks at his flock and says, well, I love you. That's a nickname. Little flock is a pet name. You know what Jesus referred to his people more often than the New Testament, any other term? The flock. That flock. Himself is the shepherd and the flock that he was shepherding. And when he says little flock, I don't want to be sentimental on you, but it kind of just melts me a little bit. Because I think about the love of God, and there's a sweetness to it. There's a joyfulness in it. Do you have nicknames for people that you love? You know, my kids all have nicknames. They're not in here, so I can tell you them. We've called Joshua Bug from the time, I'm looking at Bug. We called him Bug from the time he was born, but now his nickname has actually shifted over. He's Dude now. He's called, my oldest son, he's Dude. Levi, we call him Leaves now, but when he was born, he was Fuzzy Dough. Because he was as bright white as can be, like dough. And he had a head full of hair, and it looked like Fuzzy Dough. And we just called him Fuzzy Dough. Allison, for reasons, anybody who knows her, she's the pigtails that are moving at light speed. We call her Alligator. Alligator. Now, she's kind of crying to outgrow it now. She's wanting to just call me Allie. Just call me Allie. I don't want to be called Alligator anymore. But we call her Alligator or Gator. And Annabeth, we call Anna Boo or just Boo. And I think that's going to stick the rest of her life. She's going to be Boo the rest of her life. And she just marches around just as precious as can be. And I love a man. And they kind of just, I know what I feel when I call them like that. I know the loyalty, the passion, the love, the enjoyment I get from my children when I call them by their nickname, when I call them by their pet name. And you know what, Jesus, he looks at us and he says, little flock. He calls us little flock. He's like, he puts his arm around us, little flock. And I think, thank you for loving me that way. Thank you for giving me a nickname. Thank you for making me your own pet. And you might say, oh, I ain't nobody's pet. Well, that's your loss. You go ahead. But I love my Heavenly Father who dotes on me. I need that arm around me. I need that love that says, hey, little flock. You know, what do you expect from a little flock? Think about it. The shepherd's not sitting there. It's not about the flock. It's not about their size, their strength, their resources. It's a little flock. They don't have a whole lot to offer. But what does he have to offer them? Well, does it put it in perspective? He shepherds us because he loves us. He calls us because he loves us. And he shepherds us. Oh, we could talk about that all day. That's an awesome, beautiful thought to me. But you think about that. Don't fear. I think the King James says, fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock. And I just love it. I love it. Now, though, he gives us reason not to fear. He gives us reason not to fear. I mean, there's reason in there. There's the hint of a relationship, but now he goes full blast into the relationship that we have. Fear not. Do not fear, little flock. And we might say, why? Why not? This world is awful scary. There's a lot of things going on. It freaks me out for myself, for my house, for everybody. And I want to know, why shouldn't I fear? For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not. Why? Why? Why can we trust God? Let's put it into a positive. Not why we shouldn't fear, but why we should trust God. We should trust God because He has a relationship with us. That's number one. Do you notice what Jesus says here? And it's always crucial when Jesus says something about His Father. Do you know Jesus came to earth to show the Father to us? In the Gospel of John, it says that's what the Son came to do, to expound the Father to us, to explain, to show Him. And so it's always crucial when He talks about the Father, because His job is to show us the Father. And you know what I get from this? He says, your Father. Your Father. Yours. It means I have a relationship with Him. It means He knows me. It means He is mine and I am His. It means there's a relationship. You want to know, if you don't have a relationship with God, I don't invite you to have that trust in Him. Don't, you know, I can understand why you wouldn't. You don't know this God who is the King of an eternal kingdom if you don't have a relationship with Him. Why would you trust Him? He's just somebody preachers talk about. He's just somebody the Bible talks about. Well, don't just trust someone. But if you have a relationship with your Father in heaven, why not trust Him with everything? Why not trust Him with everything? Because you're counting on Him for your life here on earth, but your life eternal. You're counting on Him to come through for you. You're counting on Him. If you have that relationship, then you know how He's valued you by the cross. You know the price and the extent He's willing to go to save you and to save me. If you have that relationship, why not turn everything open-handed and say, I surrender all to You I owe. I think I'm mixing hymns here, but you know, you get the point. To have it open-handed, you give and you take away, but Father, it's all You. It's all about You. I have a relationship. Do you have a relationship with God this morning? Is He your Father or is He your Father's God? Do you just have the religion of your parents? Do you have the religion of your mama? Is He your mama's God? Is He your daddy's God? The God, the preacher's God? The church's God? Or is He your God and Father? I've heard this said, God doesn't have any grandchildren. God doesn't have any grandchildren. He has His Son, Jesus Christ, and through Him, we are made the children of God. And you and my kids cannot become children of God because of my faith. They have to exercise faith in God and have a personal relationship with God. Are you there? If you are there, then let me tell you, you can trust Him. He's paid it all. He's paid it all. Number two, we can trust God because we believe God's will toward us is good. You hear what He says in here? Not only do you have a relationship, but what's God's will towards us? There's people in bad relationships right now. You might not think a relationship's a good thing. There's people who have been in bad relationships. They've done everything they could to get out of them. You might say, I don't know if I want that kind of connection. What kind of God is this? What kind of relationship is this? What's His will towards me? And what does it say? It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. His will toward us is good. God has your benefit. God has your growth. God has your future. I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and grow you, not to destroy you. And He invites us to seek Him and relate to Him. His will toward us is good. Do you know that? God is good. Can we get behind that? Let's say on three. Ready? God is good. One, two, three. God is good. All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Wow,
we can like get into this whole thing. We have a round going on now. Look at that. But do you all believe that? And the point is, I believe God's will is good for my life. But you know, as a pastor, I got to tell you, I often counsel folks who say, why is God doing this bad stuff to me? Why is God allowing these bad things to happen to me? Because look, in the Christian life, bad things happen to you. Amen. Better believe it. Don't walk some primrose path of perfect. My life is perfect now, and it's all unadulterated prosperity until I go to heaven, and then it's more unadulterated prosperity. No! He never said that. He didn't say everything comes in your life is good, but he said everything will work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. He didn't say it's all good that comes in, but he knows how to work it for your good. Everything. He never wastes a hurt. He never wastes a mistake. He never wastes a tear. He knows how to do that. He knows how to capture those things. So do you believe God's will is good for your life? That's fundamental. How are you going to trust him if you're unsure? I want to talk to the person right now who's unsure. If you're unsure today, let me ask you, why are you unsure? Why are you in the middle of the road? Why are you riding the fence about God's goodness for your life? Maybe you've had some tough circumstances. Maybe you've had some hard knocks and you just feel all cluttered in. But let me tell you, the Word of God says it is good. And you need to come to a point where you're going to either trust your circumstances and what you feel, or you're going to trust the Word of God that says it is good. He loves you. He has a good will for your life. And you can trust him. Don't ride the fence anymore. You're hurting yourself. You don't have no stability. God loves me. He hates me. He loves me. He hates me. The cross isn't going anywhere. He loves you, period. Amen. Settle that in your life. He loves you, period. And you say that to yourself, God, I know you love me. His good pleasure is to give you the kingdom. We can trust him because of that. Lastly, for today, we trust God. We can trust God because God's kingdom is greater than our own. Because he has a greater king, and he has a greater kingdom. He's a greater leader, and he has a greater dominion than our own. When we try to play God and we try to manage all our own life, even the best we can come up with, maybe we end up with a lot of money and with some homes and with some stuff for the limited time here on earth. That's the best you can do. You know, the richest person in the world still only has 80-something years, 90 if they're lucky, 100 if they're really rare. I'm talking about an eternal kingdom. Do you know how God's kingdom is described and throughout the scripture? I'm thinking of the book of Daniel right now, is that he says there is going to be a kingdom that comes, and that kingdom will fill up the whole earth eventually, and that kingdom has no end. There is a kingdom that God wants us to operate in the here and now, and all the way through eternity that has no end. And he's making us fit for that kingdom. And he has a way for us to live. You know, it's not just, you know, when you come into a kingdom, there's a way to live. You come into the United States, a nation, there's a way to drive. Well, if you take that way in that country and you go over to London and think, well, that's the way I drive, you're going to be going to the eternal kingdom sooner than you might have thought. Because in that kingdom, they drive by totally different rules. In that kingdom, it's on the other side of the street. Even the cars are weird. Right? It's all different because it's one kingdom and another kingdom. The laws are different. Well, what about with this world we live in the kingdom of heaven? The laws are different. The rules are different. Our Father's family, our Father's kingdom, he says we ought to love one another. And we know in the world we live in, that makes you vulnerable to attack. That makes you look weak sometimes. But you know what? We don't live in this world, in this kingdom. I can afford to love my brother and love my sister. And if I get hurt, I can trust God because his kingdom and his ways are greater. He's left us some great things, faith, hope, and love to get by. Those are the principles of his kingdom. Don't you want to live by those principles? Faith, hope, and love? What principles do you have that are better than that? Get all I can all I get, sit on the can, or whatever it is, however it goes. I forget. I heard a saying like that. Is that your principle? Get even? Protect myself at all costs? Is that the principles of your kingdom? Because God's are greater. Faith, hope, and love are the principles of his kingdom. And he says, through Christ, he is making us fit to live in that kingdom here and now and forevermore. So just hear me, church. Hear the word of God. Don't fear, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I don't know anything about running the kingdom, but I know my Father loves me, and he's never going to leave me, and he's never going to forsake me. He's going to be with me in his kingdom that he is giving to me. I wish I could talk about the attribute of God, that when he loves somebody, he gives them something. He loved the world so much, he gave his son. His son came and said, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. He says to his little flock, the Father's giving you the kingdom. Oh, the God who gives because he loves. He just pours out grace and he pours out mercy and he pours out kindness. And y'all, we have no reason to say, no, I'm not going to trust you. We have every reason in the world to embrace him. And with the Spirit of God he's put inside us to cry out, Abba, Father, your will is good for me, and I'll go where you go. Pray with me right now. Close your eyes and bow your head. If you're here right now and fear has got you about something, something in your life, the real practical things, and you want God's freedom from it, no one's looking. Eyes are closed. Just raise your hand. And you're raising it to God. You're just saying to God, God, I raise my hand to you. Yeah. Yeah. God sees you. God knows you. God loves you. And you can trust him. That's based on the word of God. You can trust him. You can put your hands down. God sees you. If you're here today and you don't, and God's not your Father, oh, what a day this could be for you. What a day of rejoicing in heaven this could be for you. If you need to ask God to be your Father, if you don't have a relationship with God, would you please raise your hand up right now? Raise your hand up. God sees you. Amen. Amen. If you raised your hand up, then I'd love to talk with you after our service. So please come and find me and talk to me about this. It's so crucially important because he loves you. He loves you. If you've been riding the fence about whether God's will is good for your life or not, if you've been riding the fence back and forth not knowing, is God for me or is God against me? And you need to come over and say, God is clearly for me. He is in love with me. Did you hear that? Sounds a little awkward, doesn't it? But it's true. He is in love with me. Actively pursuing me because he put his son on the cross and has invested so much in me. If you're ready to come to the side and say, I want to trust God's good will for my life today, would you raise your hand up? Just because if you've had trouble trusting God's good will for your life, would you raise your hand up and just give that to him? Amen. Because his will is good for you. He loves you. Let's pray to the Father. Father, thank you for a work that you're doing right here at Christ Community Church today through your word, through your spirit, you're moving. And Father, would you just do that work? Would you do the work? I know I don't have to ask you twice. You've done the work. You are working. But Father, will you complete it? Would you show them in their mind and heart? Give them the freedom to live fearlessly. Give them the assurance of a relationship with you where your spirit cries out to their spirit that they really are children of God, joint heirs with Christ forevermore, brothers and sisters of the resurrected Jesus. Oh, Father, thank you for loving us. And Father, bind us together that we would trust you as a church and march fearlessly to the place and the places and the missions and the projects that you set before us, that we would go without fear because you are good and we are your little flock and you take care of us, Father. The good shepherd takes care of his little flock. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. And all the glory be unto God. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Oh, if God started something in your life, you be looking for Him to continue that work. Look for Him. Don't wait till next Sunday. Don't wait till the next time you come into church. There's nothing special about this building except for we have a really interesting mold project going on somewhere above this drop ceiling. It's about God working in your life. It's about the Word of God, bearing the truth of God, yielded and applied by the Spirit of God. Look for Him to do that work and complete that work of having you trust Him and leave that fear aside. Let me tell you how you do it. When you feel the fear coming up, you stop and you pray. If you're driving your car, pray with your eyes open. If you're at a place where you can get down on your knees and pray, I encourage you, show in your body that you are submitted to the will of God and get down on your knees and say, Father, deliver me from this fear and help me to trust you because I know you're good. Talk to Him in the simplest of terms, not because He can't understand, but because He does fully understand before you even ask. He knows what you need. He knows where you are, and He knows who you are. So talk with Him. Amen.